The Social Security Administration says its new $300 million IT system still doesn't work. You can read more about it at federalnewsradio.com. SSA wants to replace outdated computer systems that are contributing to the backlog of disability claims it's dealing with. The agency says outside consultants will try to get the project back on track, but they still don't have any idea when they'll be ready to launch. Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International, former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Homeland Security Department, and he writes that it's not just IT projects, but all types of federal contracts that are where good ideas go to die. Jeff, it's always great to have you on the program, but I have to, before we get to what you're writing under putting a contract out on good ideas on the Chief HRO blog, I have to read something that just crossed this afternoon. We're just learning about it, Federal News Radio, Jeff. The Defense Logistics Agency will celebrate Jeff Neal's lasting contributions to human resources by inducting him into the DLA Hall of Fame July 31st. Congratulations, my friend. That's a pretty big deal.
Thank you, Francis. I appreciate that.
I mean, that's a tremendous accomplishment, and the release from the DLA that we will link at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon talks a lot about your time there, and I knew about some of your work at DHS. I didn't know as much because you're not the kind of guy that goes around shouting from the rooftops what you've done. I didn't know the kinds of things that you had accomplished at DLA. But, I mean, how long ago was it that you left there? And there are still a lot of folks there that are really impacted in a very positive way by the work that you did there.
I left DLA 5 years ago to take the appointment at DHS. And I have to admit, I'm totally biased when it comes to DLA. I think it's an amazing agency with a great team of people. And the recognition I'm getting has my name on it, but I really think it's recognition for the HR team at DLA, which is just a remarkable team of men and women who do fantastic work for DLA all the time.
Now, I know that when you come in here tomorrow to do the Fed Talk show, you're just going to want to punch me in the jaw for this because this is not what you're into, but I have to read this. Janet Hoffhines was in charge of the Human Resources Operations Center when Neal transformed the activity. She called him a true visionary. His transformation efforts are still achieving savings today and have propelled us into a human resources leadership role in DOD. She's now the Administrator of Human Resources Services at DLA. And, I mean, I don't know her personally. I know of her work. And for her to talk about you in that light is a big deal, and I think you deserve recognition for that, and I congratulate you. And it's a privilege and an honor to have you on my show talking about this stuff. So congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Your piece is called Putting a Contract Out on Good Ideas. And the concern here, as I read it, both what you put in the lines and between the lines, is that some very well-intentioned ideas that probably were there for good reasons at some point in the contracting world are preventing the very people that they're intended to help from getting the things done that taxpayers want them to get done. Am I on the right track, my friend?
Yes, you are, Francis. You know, what inspired this one is I was actually reading an article that was quoting former Defense Secretary Gates. And Secretary Gates said that that a sclerotic contracting process wasn't suitable for the fast-moving world of IT procurement. And so my first thought on titling this blog post was I was going to call it Hardening of the Barteries, and I decided nobody would get that horrible pun. And
oh, so I would have gotten that with the sclerotic thing. My aunt is a nurse, so I would have understood that, but I might have been the only one because I'm a geek on that.
So really, I think the procurement community is in the same position the HR community is in a lot of respects. They have a lot of overly complex regulations that have been developed over many, many years. Many of them are developed to solve a problem. So something happens in some agency, they go out and buy something they shouldn't buy, or they do something they shouldn't do, and so they write a regulation to deal with it. And you do this over and over and over again over a period of many years, and what you end up with is a hodgepodge of regulations that if you had started out to write them, you wouldn't have written them that way. But because they've been written over many years and because it's a large and complex field, you end up with these things that are not well thought out. And then what happens is when people want to fix them, they come up with with little piecemeal fixes here and there. It's like what you're probably reading about now on some, probably on Federal News Radio's website about the proposals to, you know, to make it easier to fire SESs and to change how federal employees are paid and to change all kinds of things. Same thing happens with contracting. You know, I've read recently where some folks say, well, you know, for the regulations we have are tolerable for routine stuff, but for really big things, you know, like healthcare.gov, you should have a completely separate process. But the bulk of the money in the government is spent on the routine stuff, not on the high visibility stuff that, that gets an administration embarrassed. And so if we're going to fix procurement, we need to fix procurement for all that routine stuff too. You know, I mentioned DLA in my blog post. DLA, at the time I was there, and I'm sure the number is up now, DLA used to award 8,000 contracts and task orders every day. And it was like $40 billion a year worth of contracts. You can't, and most of that is routine, you can't have a process that only addresses the high visibility, very public things and doesn't address the tens of billions or hundreds of billions of dollars that are spent every year using the, so, you know, the normal procurement process. So all I wanted to do is make the point that that we do need procurement reform, that we're probably not going to get it through the Congress because that would require an act of Congress. And as you and I have discussed before, using act and Congress in the same sentence is not always the best thing to do these days.
I think you can get fined for that now because it's such a such an offense.
And so I think what we're going to have to look at is regulatory reform. And I think that's what we're going to end up looking at in the HR community, too, is what can you do through regulation? A lot of what goes on in the procurement business is regulatory. It's in the federal acquisition regulations, in DOD. It's in the Defense Federal Acquisition Regulation Supplement, the DFARS. And there's a lot in those things that is really policy and procedure, and it's not mandated by a particular law. So it is possible for those things to be rewritten and to encourage some good behaviors. You know, for example, one of the things, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the old Judy Collins song, Both Sides Now.
Oh, I love that. That's a great record.
Looked at life from both sides now. Well, I've looked at contracting from both sides now as a federal executive and as someone who's working for a consulting firm, ICF. And what I find is the stuff that used to drive me crazy when I was on the government side drives me crazy on this side too. There was too much paperwork involved in the contracting process. The evaluation criteria to award the contract to do my work didn't always match my statement of work. You know, you say in the statement of work, we're looking for A, B, and C, but the evaluation criteria for the proposals talks about X, Y, and Z. And so then you get work awarded to folks who really didn't have a good set of skills to do what you want. And you find all these things that are not mandated by the law. They're just either bad practices or things that people believe are in regulations that aren't necessarily there. I've even had people tell me that it's inappropriate for an agency to talk to the companies before work is awarded, you know, that you shouldn't talk to them. On the contracting side, on the industry side, now I look at that and say, well, how on earth do we know what they really want if we're not allowed to talk to them? And so when you find those things, it kind of makes you want to pull your hair out. And, of course, in my case, I have no hair to pull out, so I don't have to worry about that as much.
I know the feeling.
I do, and I know you do. I was not talking about you, though. I did not mention your bald head.
But there
is a lot that could be done through policy and regulatory changes to make the process better. There was actually a good, and I should put a link to this in my blog, there was a good report by the Professional Services Council a few months ago that actually had some very concrete ideas for things that could be done within regulations today to make the contracting process better. And some of those I thought were really solid ideas. So I'll actually add a link to that to my blog and send you an email with the link to it.
Great. We're almost out of time, and I want to ask you about a couple of things that you write here in this post, because I'm sure that when our friend Dan Gordon reads them, he's just going to cringe. You write, some agencies allow program managers to talk to the firms who are bidding on work. Others say no way. That's alluding to what you just were talking about a moment ago. Some encourage extensive program manager involvement in the process. Others don't. Rather than coming up with ways to provide more and better information that will lead to better, more complete, and more responsive proposals, the government often clams up. And that's completely the opposite of what Dan was trying to get at and what Joe Jordan was trying to get at and what we anticipate Ann Rung, their successor at OFPP, will try to get at with the Mythbusters program. The sense that you crystallize eloquently, I think, in this piece is what I hear anecdotally from people in the vendor community, and that is Mythbusters was a very valiant effort on exactly the right track that, unfortunately, because of the contracting culture at a lot of agencies, didn't get very far.
Yeah, and I think Dan was pushing a lot of this when he was running OFPP, that you've got to communicate more. And a lot of the things that people think they can't do because of practice, not because of regulation, mm-hmm. not because of any government-wide policy or any law. It's just their practice. And much like the HR community, and I keep referring to these because they're in a similar position, you know, that the procurement community was another one of the ones that got whacked by the National Performance Review back during the Clinton administration. People said there were too many of these control positions, the central management control positions like HR and procurement. And so the workforce in both of those communities was basically cut in half over a period of several years. And then they didn't do a lot of hiring for a long time. And so what's happened is you have a lot of people in HR and a lot of people in procurement who really have not had enough training to do the work that they do. Many of them don't have enough experience to do the work that they're doing. And they're doing the best they can, given what training they've been given and how they learned how to do the work. But they're still suffering from the results of those really excessive cuts back many years ago. And both communities are still paying for that.